Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With a delirious joy, they have joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, Mark Unger. Joining me as always is the very lovely and charming and extraordinarily blue today. Is it blue or is it purple?
Blue. It's blue. Blue,
sort of. It's royal blue.
It's royal blue.
All right. Diane Brierley. And of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorshevsky. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incredibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgunger.com. Here is how the show works. Everyone pay attention. Class? Pay attention, class! Everyone, this is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything, nothing's off limits. Hence the warning at the beginning of the show. Then you get to stay totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. In the safety and comfort of anonymity, we are brutally honest. In contrast to the gazillions of programs like this that are overwhelmingly concerned about how you feel. And how does your feeler feel the way it feels? And we got to feel just the way we need to feel. This show is the exact opposite of this. We don't care how you feel. This is the anti-feeling show. This is probably the meanest show in Christendom. Not that Christianity is mean, or even that we are mean. It's just our approach to these thoughts that people have, and we're just doing it in the context of brutal honesty. And that's all I have to say. It's a nice looking shirt on TV.
It looks nice.
I am a beautiful man. All right, what you got there today?
Okay, I know that people don't like when you say this, but ta-da! You are not the only one saying it. Article said, scheduling intimacy can improve your marriage and your sex life.
And that's what I've argued for years.
I thought it was fascinating when I found an article that actually agreed with that, because you don't often hear that out there. They say you schedule doctor.
I don't often hear anybody who agrees with me.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And when so we got to celebrate that.
I grab a hold of it. You schedule doctor appointments, workouts at the gym, after work drinks with friends. When it comes to your marriage and sex life, it may be the best way for today's busy couples to maintain intimacy. Frequently, young couples who are working 14 to 15-hour days wonder why they're not having sex. And then the couples in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are not used to looking at sex as valuable. They've had all these years of putting sex behind everything else. You have to be willing to make sex a priority, it says.
Hallelujah.
It may not sound terribly.
Hallelujah.
May not sound terribly romantic, but scheduling sex could be the best way for couples who are still interested in having intercourse to save their marriage and sex lives. According to a 2010 Kinsey Institute report, which sometimes I find their stuff questionable, but
those guys are sickos,
yes,
man.
22% of married women between the ages of 50 and 59 have not had sex at all in the previous year.
How many?
22% had no sex in the previous year.
What was that one survey we looked at once? It was on NBC or something. Yeah. So like 52% of women said they're not getting sex now.
Not getting enough or not getting much or getting hardly any. Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Sucks to be them.
They say scheduling sex is like being excited for reservations at a hot new restaurant. You're building anticipation for the event, which can be sexy in and of itself. Some people say sex should be spontaneous. The author of this says, she uses an expletive in there. Caca.
It's caca.
She says you plan other things in your life and you don't complain about it. You can do the same thing with sex. So somebody else agreeing with, there's more to the article, but it just says the same thing that you say.
Just be intentional about it. You know, here's the deal. Before they get married, we can't get them to quit touching each other. After they get married, you can't get them to touch each other again. Before they get married, you can't keep them out of bed. After they get married, you can't get them back in bed. Mm-hmm. This is insane. What the heck? And here's what everybody's trying to do. Spontaneity. Mm-hmm. Ooh, spontaneity. And listen to all these sexperts, these idiots with PhDs, who say, oh, yeah, how? And we're constantly trying to teach people how to get the spontaneity back in your marriage. Do you not hear that? Oh, how to get the spontaneity back in your marriage. Magazine covers. How to get the spontaneity. Everybody's working to try and get people spontaneity. I am doing exactly the opposite. I'm trying to get spontaneity out of your marriage. For heaven's sakes. We've created the C. Alice generation. The Seattle where you have to wait for the right moment. You never know when
the right moment
will strike, you know, like a thief in the night, like a burglar breaking into your house. Anybody want to have sex yet?
Not yet.
No, yes, no. I mean, what a bunch of horse manure. So everybody's walking around waiting for this magic moment. This magic moment. I mean, everybody's waiting for the spontaneity. And these are the people, their sex lives stink. Stop with the Cialis generation. How about you just have sex on purpose? You do it on purpose. How about you actually plan it out? Do it on purpose. No, we can't have that. I was waiting for
it's
the spontaneity.
Not romantic.
That is nonsense.
I know it is.
I was going to say something nasty, but that is nonsense. Okay, all you people who disagree with me, think about this. One of the hottest sexual encounters people claim to have is in an affair.
Well, it's the most jacked up one. I mean,
okay,
you know,
okay, so
up
so
one.
We know this.
But the way they go about it.
No, but now stop. It's very destructive. Nobody's advocating that on this show. You do this, it'll ruin your life. Okay, you have so much regret, you can't even keep up with it all. If there's one thing that seems to follow an affair, it is regret. Reams and tons of regret. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about the sex. They say it is extremely hot. Now, think about this. You know what people in affairs, you know what they do? They plan it. Next Tuesday, 4 o'clock, my husband will be here. Well, my wife will be there. Well, we can meet over here. Don't tell me planning sex is not exciting. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. You're just being difficult. These people, you know, who just go, oh, it's just got to be spontaneous and it's romantic. And if we plan it, it won't be exciting, it won't be fun. You don't know what you're talking about. These are the people who sit around, there's waiting for magic to happen. And it can't just happen with just one person's got to hit both of you at the same time. So if one of you wants to have sex, well, it didn't hit the other person at the same time. Well, now we don't have sex. Now the guy wants to have sex. Well, she doesn't feel like having sex. Well, now she feels like having sex. And he doesn't. So everybody's got to wait for the moon and the lions.
Yeah.
And the lions. The moon.
The
moon
planets
and the
stars all
the planets
have to line up.
All got to line up. And then everything's got to get perfect. And then, now we can have sex.
Do you know how infrequently that would happen, by the way?
Do you know how infrequently people are having sex today?
I know, but that's what they're
this
waiting
is
for.
Why.
No wonder.
And these morons in these magazines and these so-called sexperts who are nitwits are all pushing this idea of spontaneity. You got to get the spontaneity. No, you don't have to get the spontaneity. How about you stop with looking and trying to get the spontaneity and become intentional? If you, I promise you, you guys listen to me on the show. If you will move out of spontaneity into intentionality, it'll change your life. You will start having a fabulous marriage. You'll have the best sex of your life if you'll move away from spontaneity and into intentionality. Those of you who resist this and want to stay in spontaneity, you're the one, your sex life sucks. And we will be back with more right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
There's no denying what I see standing right there in front of me. I've been walking around it, it ain't no use. I am convinced that mountain's gonna move. Blinded by truth, my move that mountain, it's one rock. had a time.
Jimmy Bratcher, playing the Christian blues. You can check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You are listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship. I am Mark Gunger, joined by Diane Brierley and Ross Allen Skorzewski. Answering your emails, what have you got for us
today? The first one is a parenting/dating question. He wants to know the appropriate age for his daughter to date. Pastor Mark and company, I'm a rather new listener. My wife and I are the blessed parents of two daughters and one son. My oldest daughter and middle son are both married to Christian spouses. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter has just turned 16 and is a junior in high school. She has not had a boyfriend, but everyone of her male friends have now asked her, what would you do if I said I liked you for more than a friend? Mm-hmm. To this day, she has made me proud by saying, I will kill you. She's sarcastic and wouldn't really kill them, he says, just to set the record straight.
I think she should really kill him.
But just from for the entertainment discussion value. She has had with her mom, it's obvious that she is under tremendous pressure to start dating. Although she has not asked for permission to date, I feel it's best to approach this well-prepared. In your opinion, is there a particular age or maturity at which it's appropriate for high schoolers to start dating? He says, P.S., no Uber boo-boos, rather thick-skinned.
There you go. We're not into the Uber boo-boos around here.
I have a quick question, though, just real quick before you answer.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like she's under peer pressure, because what was her response again to these boys?
No, they're just pressure to date her is all. And she said, what would you think about if I wanted to date you? She said, I think I'd kill you. That's what which is pretty funny.
I misunderstood what the question was, because she made it sound like this girl felt like she was under the pressure to date, and she sounds
lots of
fine
people,
to me.
Apparently, there's guys
asking her.
So that's some pressure.
I want to date you. Can I date you? Can I date you? Will you date me? Will you come out with me? Can we?
Sounds like she's handling pressure pretty darn good, though.
So that wasn't the question. The question is, how old should she be?
Yeah, what's appropriate?
My opinion is, when you're comfortable with your kid getting married within 2 years of them starting dating, that's when they start dating. Now, 16, I wouldn't have a problem with, because I believe in young marriage. I would be perfectly fine with my daughter getting married at 18. In fact, I think she did, or she just turned 19.
No, we were 19 and just turned 20.
Okay. So, I mean, I have no problem with that. And actually, she didn't start dating since she was 17 and wound up marrying this monkey over here 2 years later. So, I have a problem with...
Married the monkey.
He married a monkey. So, I have a problem with people who let their kids date at 13 because there's nothing they can do about it. If your daughter, in fact, falls in love with a particular boy, and they get very close, and they fall in love, and they're going to want to get married, and they're going to want to get physical, the idea of letting your kid date at 14 and expecting them to wait till 28 to get married is asinine. It is destructive. It is ruining our young people. It is destroying the morality of the church. First of all, because we buy in this nonsense of waiting till you're almost 30 to get married, which is pure, unadulterated foolishness. And creating, I tell you, the one person who is the happiest that Christian parents insist that their kids wait so long to get married is the devil. The devil is the happiest. He sings, he dances, he does the La Bamba to these stupid parents. Because the longer you tell your kid to wait, the more chance they will fall into sexual sin, get addicted to porn, masturbate, feel up their girlfriends, have sex with them, give oral sex. All those chances just go exponentially the longer you insist your kid waits before they get married. You parents who are telling your kids to wait so long, you are single-handedly in league with Satan himself, as far as I'm concerned, helping to destroy the morals of your children. Then we wonder why we can't get our faith passed on to our kids. Or then these kids get so messed up. Mm-hmm. Then they got to come to people like me after they're married to try and unscramble their eggs that are all messed up. How about we start doing life right in the first place? Now, she may not find a guy that she wants to marry until she's 42. Fine. All right? But when they're in love and they want to be together and they want to get married, we need to give them the green light to do life right from the get-go. The people who built this country routinely got married at 18, 19, 21 years of age. This is insanity that we have today. Everybody, when I advocate young marriages, like people think I dropped in from Mars.
Right.
As if we've always thought this. We have not. This is recent thinking. This is the last 30 years everybody has postponed marriage. When I got married, I was 18. A lot of guys got married. Mm-hmm. Now, ask how many people in your congregation. Look at the older couples. People in their late 50s to their 75s. Ask them how old they were when they got married. You will routinely hear 19, 20, 21. 22. Every once in a while, you hear 16, where the parents had to sign off on the daughter marrying the 19-year-old pastor, guys in Bible school. You'll hear these stories over and over and over again. And this divorce rate was extremely low. Now we've bought into this nonsense that they have to wait so long for career and everything else because we worship at the idol of money. Morally, they are failing at an accelerated rate. They have so much baggage. Then they get married, and now they can't keep their relationships together. And it is an unmitigated disaster. So if you're good with your daughter marrying at 18, let her start dating. So, well, I'd be uncomfortable with that, you know, at least 19. All right, then wait till, you know, whatever. Seriously, if you want to wait until 28 to get married, just start dating until you're 26.
See, that's annoying to me is that these people that want their kids to wait till they're 25, 26, 27, some of them are letting their kids start dating at 13 and 14. It's like, what are you doing?
That's the absurdity of it. See, when I say wait until you're 26 to get married, start dating, everybody thinks that's absurd.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, it's absurd. It's absurd because you want to wait till 28 to get married. That's what's absurd. Mm-hmm. You want to wait till 26 to get married? Start dating at 24. Mm-hmm. Just take it on, down the list. But what happens is these kids start dating at 12 years old, 13 years old. They're feeling each other up. They're having orals. I'm talking Christian church. Some of these kids are doing it in church in the back row. I am not kidding. Yeah. Giving each other oral sex while the preacher's out there preaching. Mom and dad are sitting there, second row. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dumb as bricks. Not paying attention to what their kids are doing. Having sex. Guys looking at porn. Masturbating their little brains out. Becoming addicted to this behavior. Mm-hmm. Then they marry your daughter at 28. Now, she has a hard time connecting with him. He's got all these porn problems. All because we tell our kids, wait. There's no way you can fulfill the sexual desire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people say to me, you know, I had a good friend like, well, what do you tell your kids? You mean you're telling me they can't masturbate and do all this stuff? Of course not. Well, what are they supposed to do? Get married. You know, Jewish culture, traditional Jewish culture, young men don't masturbate and feel their girlfriends, all this kind of stuff. What do? Get married. Go to any Muslim website and look and search this stuff. Imams are asked, is it okay for a Muslim man to masturbate and have sex and oral sex? And they all say no. And then the boys say, well, what do? You know what the imams say? Get married. Interesting. When you get to the Christian world, we're the ones who say, well, it's okay to have oral sex. It's okay to do this. And we create all this disaster. Yep. Oh, we have this stupidity that we give them a promise ring and think they're going to stay pure till they're 26, which it doesn't happen.
No.
Studies have shown as soon as these kids leave school, those promise rings mean absolutely nothing. Yep. They have the same rate of moral failure as non-Christian kids because we are putting them in a no-win scenario. It is an unmitigated disaster. Interestingly, not enough, the Jews and the Muslims agree with what the Bible teaches.
Right.
Because Paul said, if you have a great sex drive, what should you do about it? Get a wife. Get married. Grow up. Build a life. Move on. And your idea of letting these people date at such an early age where they have nothing to do about it is absurd. So I say 18, 16, I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't. My question to you, are you okay with her getting married at 18, 19? If not, then don't play this game. It's just that simple. You want to know what I thought? That's what I think. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
I'm on a dead end street to nowhere, like a dog in the rain. Oh, I've lost the scent. Where I'm headed is a memory.
Sing it, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Where I'm going looks like where I've been. Seen a whole lot of miles, all going in the wrong direction. The left foot of my youth has passed me by, and I wish somebody else would try. Stop at the station and ask
Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at JimmyBratcher.com. You are listening to the Mark Gunger Show. I am Mark Gunger, along with Diane and Ross. Attempting to answer, at least commenting, if nothing else, to your emails about love, marriage, relationships, dating, blah, 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 blah. What else you got?
Okay, speaking of waiting and young marriage and sex and all of that, he says, this is from a part-time Gunger evangelist. He says, I have a good question. It was brought up by some Christian friends that he's gotten to listen to your podcast. So some of his friends have been listening to your podcast, and this is a question
young guys?
I'm not sure what the age is.
It's amazing how many young people
listen. Yeah, we do have a lot of young people.
That's awesome.
They've taken two of
you. You know why? Because they're not hearing this stuff. If you want to hear someone from a Christian worldview discuss masturbating, porn, dating, oral sex, all these things, where are you going to go? You go to the world, you're going to hear nothing but a sick perspective.
Correct.
So they come here. Okay. And I love it. Okay.
Okay, they've taken two of your points and kind of put them together and can't get them to make sense.
Okay.
Okay, point number one, Gunger pushes younger adults to marry, as you just talked about, because they can't say no for a long period of time to their sex drives and all the purity rings and all that, and just saying no is not working. Got that? Point number one. Point number two, Gunger tells adults who are divorced with young children to just say no to sex, that you won't die without sex.
They won't die.
The question seems to be, how can we tell an adult once they've said I do, that if one splits, that they should just say no to sex? But we cannot tell the young person that has not yet even had sex to just say no. He said the only thing he could think of was about this when you have children and you're divorced or whatever.
But they're making a I'm saying that young people can't say no. They can say no as well. Anybody can say no. That's the lie. The lie in sexuality today is you cannot say no to it. You have to have sex. Mm-hmm. That's where even Christians have bought in this poisonous stupidity that, you know, I've had women, mothers, come to me and say, don't I have to encourage my boys to masturbate? Won't they back up and explode? I mean, good Lord. First of all, I can't imagine in my worst nightmare my mom asking me if I've been, Bob, Mark, did you masturbate today? I mean, what sick mom does this? But it's only because you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. So there's this myth that, you know, if they don't, they'll back up, they'll have problems, they'll turn blue. All of it is a lie, every single part of it. It's not true in any way, shape, or form. So what do they do? Listen, first, you're not going to back up and explode. At some point, it might need a release, and that's where wet dreams come in. The Bible talks about wet dreams in the Old Testament. That's a normal part. That's God's answer to this stuff. Nobody will die. No one has ever died from lack of sex. There's never been a toe tag in a morgue that says cause of death, failure to ejaculate. It has never happened. For people to put sex in the same category as water and air and food, it is outrageous. And that's exactly what they're telling our young people. That's what parents have bought into. That's why our moral structure is falling apart at an accelerated rate. Now, you don't have, nobody has to have sex. Do you want to have sex? Now we're talking. Yes, I want to have sex. I'm a big fan. Therefore, as a young man, I chose to marry young. Why? So I can start having sex. But I wasn't masturbating, looking at porn, and having sex with other women before I got married. For heaven's sakes.
Right.
But do I? Of course. Now, the problem that he's talking about, well, then what do you tell? You tell young guys who are frustrated to get married. What do you tell these older
guys?
Then
why isn't that the same answer? That's what they want to
know. Okay. That's a little more complicated answer. So we'll come back after the break here, and I'll tell you why the answer is a little bit different with people who have gotten divorced. And we'll be back right after this break.
Caution. The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I know that there's a refuge where I can find peace. Where you take me.
We are back. You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show. Answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships, and anything else you can throw at us. I am Mark Gunger, joined by Diane Brierley and Ross Allen Skorzewski. We just had some people who listen to my show, and they see a disconnect. On the one hand, I argue if you have a great sexual need, just get married. And if that means young marriage, then get married young and do life and build life. I'm all for young marriage. I think delayed marriage is the single greatest cause for the moral decay that is rotting the church in America and around the world, by the way. And it's worse than other places. Africa, South Africa. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. These people routinely are 36 years of age.
Yes,
oh, by the way,
are.
Our friend Anton, I talked to him.
You did talk to him.
Yeah, yeah. I called him. And just to see how he's doing, I said, so how's your love life? What is it? What was he, 36, 38?
36. 38. No, I think he was 38.
Good Lord, 38. Still single. Not even a girlfriend. I said, dude, you're half dead, for heaven's sakes. What? I don't know what these people are thinking. So he gave him a hard time. So I said, so how's your love life? Is going good? He says, I'll probably be married in 2 months.
Really? I mean, we were brutal to the poor boy the whole week we were with him. Whoa, we were brutal.
I started laughing. He says, no, I'm serious.
That's good.
I said, well, I want an invitation.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So anyway, so on that one hand. Then they said, well, you're inconsistent because when you tell divorced people, don't remarry.
You won't die if you don't
you
have
won't
sex.
Die if you don't have sex.
Because your answer to them is not get a wife.
Yeah,
and people get mad at you about that.
I know, but we're talking about people with children, especially teenagers. When you start dating and you start doing the blended family thing, it is a trip to hell. Ask almost anyone who's done it. Ask them how it's going. And in 30 seconds or less, you will hear the word hell. Because it is brutal and it is destructive and it is so frustrating. And the people who did it wish they hadn't have done it.
We hear a lot from people
how bad it is. So my advice in that case, you got teenagers, just wait until they get out of the house. You will not die. Will you be frustrated? Yes. But let's back up a little bit. This is why you don't get divorced in the first place. Okay? So don't say, you know, well, I got a divorce and now you're not letting me get remarried. Well, how about you don't get divorced in the first place? Now, sometimes you don't have a choice. There's no control. I understand that. But a lot of people get married just because we just drifted
apart.
We just didn't feel like we were connected. You know, all these stupid reasons that all can be fixed. Most marriages can be fixed. Mm-hmm. So the answer is don't get divorced in the first. Don't create a stupid scenario and then blame me because it's inconsistent. You know, that's why you don't do it in the first place. But if you do it, just stay involved in your church. Pray, take a lot of cold showers, whatever. You will not die. Will it be frustrating? Yeah, but that's why you don't do it in the first place. But I promise you got teenage kids. They do not need you bringing another man into their life. They don't need you bringing another woman into the life. They will resent you. You will create problems. They already have a mom and a dad. And I'll tell you what. Then the couple who gets married, they are at each other's throat. Mm. Because you talk to my kids.
Oh,
you talk to your kids. I'm telling you guys, so my friend was, why the inconsistency? Because you're talking a different animal
and
here. It's not the same thing. From a sexual drive standpoint, it would seem the same. But when you get married early, you don't have all this baggage. It's a natural man. Just get married. Make life simple. Mm-hmm. But when you do this other thing, you're
not
just going to make
marriage.
It worse. And again, I will argue. Most of the people who do it wish they hadn't have done it. And in fact, most of the people who do it do end up in divorce a second time.
Yes.
Yeah. 70 to 80% of the time.
80% divorce rate in that group. So don't tell me, oh, you just don't understand because I want to have a husband in my... Listen to me. Overwhelmingly, the chances of you staying married in that second marriage is extremely low. We're talking 30, 40% chance it'll even succeed. And that doesn't mean those 30, 40% are happy.
They just make it last.
They're just the ones who
don't get divorced.
Mm-hmm. So when
you're happy,
you got 70 to 80%, you got a 20 to 30% chance of even making it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that now those 30% of people are really happy. I'd argue that half of them or more just in that 30% are miserable.
Yeah.
We call them M&Ms, married and miserable. So they don't get a divorce, but they're really miserable.
Right.
They wish they hadn't done it. Of course, most of them, 70% plus, end up in divorce anyway. Yeah. So in that, I would say, yeah, just wait. If you'll wait 3, 4, 5 years, I don't care what it is. Get those kids out of the house. Now, if you got young little kids, that's a different ballgame. But the older ones, let them get out of the house and then start doing your life. And you'll find it'll be less complicated, less weird, less icky. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's why we're trying to get you not to divorce in the first place.
You know what I find very ironic is so many Christians who divorce because, well, God wants me to be happy. You know,
God wants to be happy.
They end up so profoundly unhappy.
I know it.
They're leaving what they have, thinking that they're going to find happiness out there, and they walk into way much more
much
unhappy
worse.
Of a situation.
I know they think we're being mean. We're not being mean. It's like a medical procedure that is painful. What's a medical procedure that's painful? I don't know. We got such great drugs nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's been like
amputation.
I think root canals are painful because I felt mine.
Oh man,
even with the drugs, I still felt it.
You should be back in the day when I was growing up. Ho chi mama, would that hurt? Man, that was brutal.
Okay? I've never had one done.
Oh my
you know,
gosh!
And like you would say, boy, you better brush your teeth. Because you get cavities, it's going to hurt like crazy. Mm-hmm. Trust me, when I was growing up, now you go to the dentist, you don't even feel it.
Can knock you out.
You know, you might feel a little pick here, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, it is what it is. Brush your teeth. Why? Because it really, 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 really hurts. It just is what it is. This is a painful thing. People just don't get it. And what's sad is most of the people listening to us who are going to do this aren't going to listen to us anyway.
Right.
They are hell-bent.
They want to be happy.
Hell.
Yes,
they want to be happy. They're self. They bought into a lie. They're going to go ahead and get divorced anyway. Then they're going to remarry somebody with their 13 and 14 year old kids and all.
You'll be guaranteed unhappiness.
Hell is going to break loose, and then you'll remember what I said. And then you see what these are the people. I'm telling you. I know it's really mean, But these are the people, in my opinion, should be banned from marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. They should just like take a brand, like they used to say, those horses and brand their rear ends and stuff. Like that. Put a brand on their head. DNC, do not counsel. Mm-hmm. Do not counsel. You are banned from marriage counseling. These are the people. They intentionally go into relationships that are a disaster.
Yes.
Then they will suck the life out of the pastor, out of their family, out of their friends, out of everybody, mm-hmm. trying to help them hold their marriage together. You know how much time is wasted, and I call it wasted, by people who are called to ministry, but they cannot ministry. They cannot give themselves to the ministry in the word of and prayer, as the disciples did, apostles did, because they have spent all their time working with people like this, trying to keep them together.
Yep.
And these pastors are spending untold hours every week trying to help marriages stay together, which never should have gotten together in the first place. So
a lot of the pastors don't hold that point of view.
You should be banned from marriage counseling, and
some of the pastors should be banned from marrying some of these people, though.
Well, because the pastors aren't telling these second marriages. Right. They're not telling, you know, they're saying God forgives and you can move on and God rebuilds. And all of that is true, but they're not approaching it from a realistic point of view like you do. And so they condone all of this.
And they shouldn't be. Yep. Then they're miserable. And again, I know some great Christian couples that are in second marriages. I know a lot of them. But they'll all tell you it's really, really hard.
Yep.
And most people aren't up for that version of difficult. They think they're going to get the Brady Bunch.
It's really, 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 really hard. You think marriage is hard the first time? Oh, no.
It's a walk in the park.
It's the second and third with other kids and other spouses still in play. That is really, really, really hard. Now, it's a free country. You want to do it? Do it. Most churches will accept you.
Don't whine about it, though.
But I'm just trying to spare you. And so they don't get it. So that's why he seems as inconsistent, but it's really not inconsistent. It's just a different ballgame. You're comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
All right. Okay, one more break, and then we will come back and take on the next email right after this.
Do you want Mark to come to your city? Visit laughyourway.com.
On the Mark Gunger Show. I am, of course, Mark Gunger, along with Diane and Ross, discussing love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails that you can send to us at Ask ASK. Bless you, Nancy.
Bless you, Nancy.
It's Nancy sneezing in the background. But you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Yes.
Okay, this email says, I am a divorced woman in her later 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I have been dating a man for over a year who's an alcoholic. He recently told me he cannot make a commitment to anyone until he is better, and he didn't want to tell me that because he didn't want me to break up with him. I love him and really don't want to lose this relationship. I care for him very much. I can also relate to what Diane said recently, that a woman would rather stay in an imperfect relationship than be alone. That is one of my greatest fears, being alone. I long for a partner to share life with, the good and the bad. I have also heard you, Mark, say numerous times how difficult it is for a woman to find a good man, especially when she's older.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to stay with this guy and support him without any commitment? Am I being foolish?
Yes. You're being very, very foolish. You're dating a man who's an alcoholic. My question is, why? Why are you doing this to yourself? I get it. You don't want to be alone. But you're going to be miserable. You're just going to be miserable. This pen's falling
throwing
apart.
Things.
It's just not worth the pain that you will experience. Oh, honestly.
But is the pain a better payoff than loneliness to some of these people? The pain that they're experiencing, that they're going through. To some, I think it's a necessary evil to them because it's...
What is it, a commercial for Apple here?
Why?
That's all I see on the screen.
It's your Apple.
I'm sorry. Let me enhance your view.
So weird. You're so weird.
Hold on.
You're you look like a priest. Father Ross.
Oh, it didn't work, did it? Shoot, I'll work on
this. Father Guido Sarducci over here.
There, that's what you are.
Oh, my God.
But I'm serious. I think, you know, to some of them, the pain of these situations is by far more of a trade-off than loneliness.
They'd rather deal with the stuff inside?
I can't answer that. I would argue no, because they're being idealistic. They're thinking there won't be that much pain. They're very, very unhappy people. They're extremely unhappy people.
Alcoholics, you mean?
No. People who are married alcoholics.
Oh, yeah.
Tend to be very, very unhappy people. So she's thinking she'll be more unhappy if she doesn't have a man.
No, I would say being in the alcoholic relationship is going to be far
worse. Is there a savior complex in some of this as well, though, where they think that they can change them and they just want to be there because what if something were to happen?
I think it's part of the curse.
Yes, we've talked about this
before. It's part of the curse. The curse was that man will work by the sweat of his brow because of their sin. Mm-hmm. And because of the woman's nonsense and complicity and leading in this whole thing, she had two curses. We always forget that the one everybody remembers that she'll have pain in childbirth. Look at Father Guido over here.
We got it.
He's so weird. Sorry for all you radio people, but he's got to.
If I offended you, I'm sorry.
He's a black shirt on and then puts the little white tab of paper so it looks like he has the priest call.
He might go to dinner like this tonight.
He looks just like a priest
on the screen. It is hilarious.
Our guest host today.
Father Guido Sarducci. What was I talking about?
It's the curse.
So the curse is pain in childbirth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think most people know what the other part of the curse is?
I'm sure they don't.
The other part of the curse was you will desire him.
Desire him only. Mm-hmm.
You will desire him.
Oh, your desire will be for him.
For him, yeah. Mm-hmm. So and I'm thinking, Adam, that had to be funny at some level because God said, okay, Adam, here's your curse. And to Eve, he says, here's your curse. You'll have pain in childbirth and you're going to want this guy. It's like Adam going, hey, wait a minute. What kind of curse is that?
It's a curse.
But I'm telling you, I think it's part of the curse because women genuinely crave and desire a man, even if he is absolute poison. And I just think it's part of the curse. Yeah. I think, Christian women need to wake up and be smart. There's no reason for you to stay with this guy.
Well, there's another part of her question. She goes on with a couple of other things here, and she has some issues of her own because she says, secondly, it has hit close to home many times when I hear you talking about women's lack of self-respect, that we allow men to treat us badly and that we should be stronger. Okay, I believe you. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that look like? I want to learn and grow in this area, but I have no clue where to start. Give me some practical ideas of what it looks like to be a woman who doesn't treat herself cheap so that men won't treat me as cheap. I have struggled with this for a long time.
Well, let's go down the list. Are you having sex with a guy, though? You're not.
Yes,
to him?
Yes. She is.
Okay, already, right there. You're treating yourself cheap. Mm-hmm. Right there. Stop it. Does he curse at you and you put up with it? Right there. Stop it. Does he abuse you? Does he hit you and you stick around? Well, yeah, but he was just drunk. Stop it. Does he neglect you? All these things.
She's the acting, sex thing is a huge one.
I know, but she's acting like this is some great mystery. Yeah. What does it look like? It looks like somebody doesn't treat you like crap. That's what it looks like. Okay. You put up with it. You're giving him sex when there's no commitment. He treats you horribly. You tolerate it. Have some respect. Stop it. You talk about the curse kicking in. It's way worse because once you start getting sexually involved, then there's this huge connection because of the endorphins and stuff that are released in a woman. I've said this many times. What people don't understand, before they get sexually active, men tend to be very stupid. They can't think. And then they finally have sex, and then after sex, it is the woman now who becomes stupid. Mm-hmm. Now the guy starts getting clear-headed at this point. Mm-hmm. The guy starts to pull away, starts getting clear. He doesn't really want to be with her. Now she, don't leave, I gotta sit. Because now she's stuck with him. Yep. That's all what happens when you girls have sex with these guys. What you're doing. Here's better. Until you get married, better to keep him stupid. The minute you girls have sex before marriage, you're volunteering to be the stupid one in the relationship. The reason so many of you women make such bad choices like this lady, one reason, you're having sex with a guy. Stop it. All right, we'll take our final break and be back with another email right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
I open up my heart and give in to my soul. Every time it happens, it's so hard to believe. All I do is just let go. Jesus brings me everything I need.
You heard the song?
First he gives me the melody, then he brings in the harmony.
That's cool. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship, answering your emails. Ross, Diane, and myself. What do you got?
Okay, I'm going to backtrack. She had one more little bit on the end of this, and this I have heard from other single people when they're talking about being single and the advice that they get, so I wanted to add this. It's rather interesting. Okay. She said, I can tell you that one of the hardest things is when I hear my married friends tell me that I need to embrace being alone and singleness and all of that, and then in the next breath, they tell me how they need to get home to their husbands. I feel they have no clue as to the life I experience and cannot relate. I'm tired of hearing that God is enough for me. Then why isn't he enough for them?
Well, you're assuming that he's not enough for them. You see, they choose to be married.
But you hear single people say that. I mean, I have heard that.
I know. But nothing justifies her having sex with this man. No. She uses that to justify having sex with this guy and staying with an abusive alcoholic. Well, the other girls are married. You're not married. How about you wait until someone actually treats you in a right way and then marries you? And then you can enjoy what these other women enjoy. Mm-hmm. And your friends are right. Here's what they don't understand. She thinks they're happy because they have husbands. What they don't understand is they were happy in the first place.
Yes.
Good grief. If you think a husband could make you
Well, that's what
happy.
She thinks. She thinks a husband's what makes them happy. That's what
I'm
these single women think.
Nuts.
They think these girls are happy because they're married, and they're not happy because they're not married. Well, they don't understand. No. They were happy in the first place, yeah. Then they got married, and they're still happy. You're unhappy. You don't need a man to make you happy. You need to get to the point where you can live without a man and be totally happy. Then you'll make a great wife. That's what she doesn't understand. She's got it backwards.
No man's needed to make you happy.
Unless you're married to someone like me, then it just comes automatically.
Then it's automatically. Then you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bliss and the joy, I'm sure. Can we call Leslie and get an opinion on that?
Absolutely.
You marry a man like me, you can't help but be immediately happy, no matter how miserable.
Get out the waiters, people.
No matter how miserable you might be.
Break out the waiter. Right,
what do you got there, Wilma?
Okay, let's see.
She got the Wilma Flintstone stuff on today, doesn't she? Those are some serious rocks.
Those are like stalactites.
They are. They're like the stalactite deal. Did you get those in Africa?
No, not this one.
I was going to say,
this one I got here in Green Bay.
And you'll hurt some of them things.
I'll take it off and use it as a weapon.
Really? Catanine tails. That's what it is.
If need be.
Catanine.
Nunchucks.
Okay, this says, Dear Wise Mark, Cool Ross, and Diane.
Why is he cool?
He says, sans the superlative for me, lest she boast. That's what he says. So apparently, I don't get it.
I've never been cool.
I'm cool.
All the time I'm cool is when it gets really cold in here.
Mm-hmm. He says, my question is, do some churches do a disservice by having a young adult service? It would appear that this would further support the Peter Pan mentality so many guys have nowadays. Mm-hmm. I'm all for kids' church and youth groups, middle school and high school, but for crying out loud, after that, isn't it time to put on the big boy pants and start serving? Am I off base here? Your thoughts, please.
I agree with you 100%. 110%. Mm-hmm. There's idealism and then there's reality. I tend to be idealistic in my thinking, but then I adapt to reality. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I wouldn't even have youth groups.
Right.
That's my idealistic. To me, they're not children. They're not adolescents. They're young adults. We should stick them in classes with young adults in the church and just have them grow up and mature. That's idealistic. The reason you can't do it is not that the kids won't accept it so much, it's the parents won't accept it.
Mom and dad don't like it.
Because they come from a generation and a culture probably where
So you can't fight it, you know. Okay, so you've got to tolerate the youth group thing. Again, personally, I'm convinced the kingdom of God would be dramatically stronger if we got rid of all youth groups and just had, say, anybody in youth group listening, this will be mad at me.
Yeah.
But and just treat them like adults. Maybe one of the reasons they don't act like adults is because we don't treat them like adults.
We don't have expectations.
Like teens. There's no expectations from them. They're just kids. Ha, ha, ha. That's why they walk around all ditzy. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? What you want to do? I don't know. What you want to do? Let's go.
Used to say this statement all the time. We can't trust a teenager as far as you can throw them.
That kind of teacher.
Yes.
Teenager. Because they've never been given a responsibility.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Treat them with respect. Other cultures. The only culture in the world that has adolescent concept is Western culture.
Yeah.
Another culture. For those of you having a problem with this, think about Paul the Apostle. We all quote that great verse. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I always ask people, how old do you think he was when that happened? They'll tell me 30, 29, maybe 20. 14. 14, people. It's called bar mitzvah. They stop being a child. They become a man. A young man, I get it. But they now spend all their time mentoring with older men. And that's what transforms them. So that's what I think ideally should happen. It's not going to happen because we're too locked into this youth group thing. But yes, for the love of God, stop it after that. You don't now need to move them into a second category of young adults. You're exactly right. It will continue the Peter Pan principle. It is an unmitigated disaster. What is it with? Why is the church so afraid to get young men and women to grow up? Oh, drives me crazy. That's a short drive for me. All right, see you.